President Tajani, honorable members of the European Parliament, it's good to be back in Europe. Thank you for inviting me here today for this important discussion. Now, Europeans make up a large and incredibly important part of our global community, and many of the values that Europeans care about deeply are values that we share, from the importance of human rights and the need for community, to the love of technology and all the potential that it can bring. Now, we've always focused on all the good that technology and connecting people can bring. And as Facebook has grown, it has helped give people everywhere around the world new tools to stay connected to the people they care about most. After the recent terrorist attacks in Berlin and Paris, London, and here in Brussels, tens of thousands of people have used our safety check tool to tell the people they love that they're safe. Refugees arriving in Europe are using Facebook to stay in touch with their loved ones back home and find new communities here. There are 18 million small businesses here in Europe that use Facebook today, mostly for free, almost half of whom say that they have hired more people as a result of their use of our tools. But it's also become clear over the last couple of years that we haven't done enough to prevent these tools from being used for harm as well. And that goes for fake news, foreign interference in elections, and developers misusing people's information. We didn't take a broad enough view of our responsibility, and that was a mistake, and I'm sorry for it. It's going to take time to work through all of the changes that we need to make here, but I'm committed to getting this right and to making the significant investments that are necessary to keep people safe. For example, we are doubling the number of people working on safety and security at our company to more than 20,000 by the end of this year. On top of the investments that we're making in other areas, I expect that these increased investments in security will significantly impact our profitability. But I want to be clear, keeping people safe will always be more important than maximizing our profits. Now let me start by explaining the action we're taking to prevent what happened with Cambridge Analytica from happening again. Back in 2014, we changed our policies to more tightly restrict the information that apps could get and to proactively review all apps asking for more data. So now we're going to go even further than this. First, when you use an app, it's now only going to get limited access to your information, your name, your profile photo, and your email address, unless they've gone through a full review. So that's much less information than apps can get on mobile platforms today. Second, if you haven't used an app in 3 months, we're going to prevent that app from accessing your information until you authorize it again. Third, last month, we showed everyone on the top of their newsfeed a tool with a list of all the apps that they've used, as well as a simple way to remove permissions for any apps that they no longer want to access. Finally, we're investigating every single app that had access to a large amount of people's information before we locked down our platform in 2014. And where we have concerns, we're going to conduct an audit and suspend the app. And if we conclude that people's personal data was misused, we will ban the app and the developer completely and tell everyone who was affected. So far, we've investigated thousands of apps, and we've suspended more than 200. As we work to protect people's information, we also need to give people more control. At the heart of Europe's new data protection law, the GDPR, are three important principles: control, transparency, and accountability. And we've always shared these values and given people the ability to control what information they share and who they share it with. And now, we're going even further to comply with these strong new rules. We're making the same controls and settings available to people who use Facebook around the world. In addition to GDPR, we're also working to give people important new controls. For example, in your web browser, you already have a simple way to clear your cookies and browsing history. So we're building a version of this for Facebook too that we're calling Clear History. It will enable you to see the information we receive from websites and apps when you use them, and to clear this information from your account and turn off the ability to store it associated with your account going forward. Now, when you clear your cookies in your web browser, that can make your browsing experience worse. You may have to sign back into every website that you use. And, you know, clearing your history on Facebook may make parts of your experience worse too. But this is an example of the kind of control that we think that people should have, and something that privacy advocates and regulators, especially here in Europe, have long called for. Now let's turn to elections. In the next 18 months, there are important elections globally, including many here in Europe, as well as for the European Parliament, the United States, Brazil, India, and Indonesia. In 2016, we were too slow to identify Russian interference on Facebook in the US presidential election. At the time, we were more focused on more traditional kinds of cyber attacks, like phishing and malware. And we identified those and we told people. But we weren't prepared enough for the kind of coordinated misinformation operations that we are now aware of. So since then, we've made significant investments to protect the integrity of elections by making these kinds of attacks much harder to do on Facebook. And I have more confidence that we're going to get this right going forward because we've already done a better job in several important elections since 2016, including the French presidential election, the German elections, and the Alabama special election in the US last year. We're working with governments and other technology companies to share information about threats in real time. So for example, in Germany, before the 2017 elections, we worked directly with the German Federal Office for Information Security. We're also using new technology, including AI, to remove fake accounts that are responsible for much of the false news, misinformation, and bad ads that people can see on Facebook. In the run-up to the 2017 French presidential election, our systems found and took down more than 30,000 fake accounts. And in the Alabama special election in the US, we were able to proactively detect and remove fake accounts from Macedonia that were trying to spread misinformation. Now, it's worth adding that a lot of fake news is economically motivated, not politically motivated. Right? It's much like email spam in that way. The playbook for fighting this is removing the ways in which spammers can make money, so then they just go and do something else. So to do this, we've banned sites that regularly run fake news from using our ads products so they can't make money from it. We built our systems to penalize clickbait and sensationalism. And we also reduce the distribution of stories and newsfeed that have been rated as false by third-party fact-checkers. Finally, we're making advertising on Facebook much more transparent. So we built a new tool that lets you see all of the ads that any page is running. So now you can see all of the different messages that an advertiser or a political actor are sending to all of the different audiences that they're trying to reach. We're now testing this in Canada and Ireland, and we're going to launch it globally this summer. Increased transparency is going to lead to increased accountability and responsibility for all advertisers on our systems over time. Now, security is not a problem that you can ever fully solve. We face sophisticated, well-funded adversaries who are constantly evolving. But we're committed to continuing to invest heavily and improving our techniques to make sure that we stay ahead. And we're going to keep building tools to help more people make their voices heard in the democratic process as well. In addition to working on election integrity, Facebook plays a positive role in elections around the world by helping leaders like all of you connect directly with voters. And our Get Out the Vote efforts have helped millions of people register around the world who may have not gone to the polls otherwise. I am determined to keep building tools that bring people together in meaningful new ways while we work to address our safety and security challenges as well. We're very committed to Europe. Almost 400 million people in Europe rely on our services to connect and communicate with their friends and the communities that matter most to them. Dublin is home to our European headquarters. London is home to our biggest engineering team outside of the United States. Paris is home to a big part of our artificial intelligence research. And we have data centers in Sweden and Ireland, and we're building a new one in Denmark that will come online in 2020. By the end of 2018, Facebook will employ 10,000 people across 12 European cities, up from 7,000 today. And we will continue to invest in Europe in the years ahead, including we've committed to providing 1 million people and small businesses with digital skills training by 2020. Now, my priority has always been our social mission of connecting people, helping people build communities, and working to bring the world closer together. And I believe deeply in what we're doing. And when we address these challenges, I know that we're going to look back and view helping people connect and giving more people a voice as a positive force, both here in Europe and around the world. So thank you for inviting me to the European Parliament today, and I am ready to take your questions, which I'm looking forward to hearing, and I'll answer together at the end.